This the Black Powder Podcast. Kick up your feet, lean on your armrest, right, and get your mind blessed on this conquest. Hold a grip like a 12th gauge. Let this moment kick. Black people moving and having some gun ownership. I carry weight, not to keep the camera safe. It's thinking about you, my kids and my parents' faces. The big topics they don't wanna involve us. Think we're novice, but now we're moving hard with revolvers. This the Black Powder Podcast. Let's get it started. Yeah.
Primer's hit, the powder's lit. This is the Black Powder Podcast, where we chamber the narrative, light the message, and stay on target. Exploring firearms, culture, and community with the unique perspective of black gun ownership. The Second Amendment is for all, but here we aim to redefine the narrative of black society in the Second Amendment space and terraform the landscape of firearm communities with purpose and power. As always, if you have questions, comments, or would like to be featured on the show, please reach out to blackpowderpodcast@gmail.com and search for us on all popular social media sites such as Facebook, Instagram, Reddit, and more. If you're looking for past episodes, please find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, and more. Shout out to the supporters: Tactician Fragrances, Tardigrade Industry, Gun Club Radio, Hot Brass Clothing Company, and many more listed below in the information.
Kind of light them up and knock them down.
All right, let's do this. It's time to get into the follow-up shots. My experience after SHOT Show 2025. My very first SHOT Show that I was able to go to with the assistance of Chris McKenna and his team from Tardigrade Industries. Once again, shout out to y'all again. I really enjoyed my time. It was great. Funny enough, the last day was my birthday, and I was worn out. I was done. I was tired. I see all the memes and everything about SHOT Show and how it drains you all 4 days. And yeah, I experienced it. Thankfully, I didn't get the crud, but yeah. But nonetheless, it was still a very educational experience, and it was fun too. Day number one, went up to the Venetian, was trying to figure out exactly where the Tardigrade booth is at. This year was located at 60,208, I believe. But nonetheless, trying to find that booth was extremely interesting. As soon as we entered the doorways, trying to find maps and everything else, and some of the people that worked there didn't really know where the hall that we were trying to find was located at. I'll never forget, walked up the main stairway and got kind of lost. Saw that there was I think the 12,000, 14,000, whatever. And I'm whole time I'm over here just like, what the hell is going on? Which way do I go? I'm trying to get my directions. I'm trying to figure out where my positioning is at. There's no topographical map. I'm just like, what the hell is going on? So some dude decided to help out that worked there. They asked him which way we needed to go. And at the foot, the very top of the stairs, he's like, looking me dead in the windows of my soul. And then he said, you gotta go downstairs. Gotta go to the right. I'm like, okay. I mean, I know this might sound kind of wrong, but if dude ain't got no teeth, he's already lying to you, you know, because you can only imagine what he told his mom whenever she asked if he was brushing his teeth or not. Anyway, let me not be judgmental. I know that was wrong. But nonetheless, he said, down the stairs to the right. So you would think that these directions were, I don't know, somewhat credible. So here's where it gets even more interesting. Go down the stairs, started to make a right, stop and ask another person if this is the correct way. And this dude, without skipping a beat, said, yep, it's down this way. You make a right. We ended up going down that way and making a right. Ended up in another hallway. He got so lost to the point where I was feeling kind of bad because I was stopping by some of the booths there. We were walking by them, trying to figure out where the 60,000s were at. Weren't even anywhere close to them. I think, if anything, we were near the 70,000s or 80,000s. I don't know. I know there wasn't a 6 in it. So that definitely wasn't where I was trying to go. Nonetheless, as I'm walking by booths that I have an interest in, I'm looking at the people and I'm like, I'll be back, I promise. I'll be back, I promise. So we end up walking back to the hall we came from. And by this time, I think I downloaded the SHOT Show app because I'm like, all right, there's got to be something that can help us out. app was pretty cool because it did have a map in it whenever it did work correctly. But nonetheless, at least there was an option that would literally show you with a green trail and some arrows which way you needed to go in order to find your location. So hopped on the app, started trying to look around, ended up getting hungry, stopped to get a breakfast burrito and the energy drink. The burrito was okay, but I'm still like, you know, somebody's waiting on us and we got to go ahead and meet up with them. I don't want to really want to keep them waiting or anything, but you know, nonetheless, started trying to find a booth again. Ended up asking 5 workers, which they were some of the coolest workers there. You know, we saw them all 4 days I was there. So talking with them, and one dude was like, yeah, I don't quite know. I don't quite know which way to go. And I was like, if only there was a sign. And then all of a sudden you look up and there's a sign leading towards the 60,000s. So, you know, God is good. But, you know, as soon as you saw the sign, everybody started laughing. And ironically enough, that's when Chris walked out and we followed him back to the booth after he had was dealing with his some stuff going on with the business. Not going to go into detail, but, you know, he took care of it. Ended up going to the booth. Ended up stocking up on a lot of stuff for Tardigrade Industries. And I know a lot of people are like, why do you keep saying Tardigrade Industries? Why do you keep promoting them? Why do you keep backing them up? Because at the end of the day, honestly, if they never would have invited me in the first place, which, to be honest with you, I only brought up SHOT Show in my interview with Chris McKenna. He was the one that invited me. I didn't ask him. He invited me. So I'm like, yeah, cool. I appreciate it, man. And ironically enough, this is a point where he could have easily said, oh shit, this is too much, because the SHOT Show guest passes had went up, according to him, they went up from $50 to $200 per guest pass. This man had spent $400 for myself and my girlfriend to go to this event. So honestly, I mean, I could have easily said, all right, cool, appreciate it, man. But no, I mean, somebody spends $400 on me and I'm underneath their business name. I mean, I know you said go have fun, but nah, I got to at least try and help you out or do something, because $400 isn't exactly the easiest thing to drop. I don't care who you are. I mean, yeah, you could be a billionaire or whatever, but nonetheless, it's the fact that spending $400 on two people that you've never met face to face only because, you know, you offered to invite them over to the event, and being a man of your word, you're keeping it. So yeah, I definitely helped him out. I took as many flyers as I could. He gave us the Tardigrade Industries collared shirt, which that thing is fire. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I'm probably gonna end up wearing that anytime I go to an event, or if I go to like a gun show or whatever. I mean, that thing is on point. It is cool. But, you know, stocked up on information, and we just hit the floor. I mean, we hit like floor one, floor two, went all over the place. And one of the booths I stopped at first was the Otis Tech booth, because Bill Kleftis was supposed to be there at SHOT Show, which he was, and I definitely wanted to meet up with him again because I hadn't seen him in a long time, and he's good people. He's a great supporter of this podcast too. So yeah, I definitely wanted to meet up with somebody who supports me, and you know, I can bounce ideas off of him and everything else. But nonetheless, went over to the Otis Tech booth, met up with the Otis Tech team, which, you know, they're all really cool, you know, down to earth people. They had a really nice booth set up too, and I'll be honest with you, that was my headquarters during the entire time. So like all 4 days, if I ever got tired, if I was just like needed a place to chill at, I chilled out over there, and they didn't run me off for nothing. So, you know, shout out to them. I really appreciate them for that. But after getting done talking with Otis Tech, the next thing was Canik was literally next door to him, which was pretty cool. So I rolled over there, met some of the Canik team, and also met up with the contact I made previous before, Adrian. And, you know, the fact that he remembered me, that was awesome. And it also lets me realize that, hey, dude, you got to do a really better job of keeping your network and your contacts. So shout out to Adrian. Dude, I'm going to reach out to you a little bit more often. I'm going to try not to bug you, but, you know, we gonna do some business. We're going to make it work. But after I got done with Canik, it was just try and go to different booths and go to as many booths as you could. So next booth I went to was EAA Garcon, and I had one of the most coolest interactions there, because my girl at the time, she wasn't really too sure about moving on to another firearm. So she got shown around as far as like what may be a better option for her. And Garcon has got this firearm that's got a kind of like a ramp type barrel where you can lift the barrel up, insert your round, and then push the barrel back down, and it'd be good to go instead of having to rack the slide. She actually found a lot of interest in that piece as well. And just the fact that I think her name was Emily, Emily that worked at Garcon booth, she took her time and literally went over just good information that set my girlfriend in a better mindset as far as how she could protect herself and certain things that she could look for whenever she's trying to buy firearms. I mean, she just actually broke the game down to her, and she took time doing that. She must have spent like, I don't know, I dare say 10 minutes doing that. And the fact that you can go to a booth and somebody's actually willing to be down to earth, it definitely makes me want to do more business with them, because you're dealing with real people. Now, granted, I know business people are going to have certain mentalities or whatnot, but nonetheless, you're dealing with real people. That means that you want to try their products and you want to conduct business with them, and it just garners loyalty. So shout out to them. I definitely want to do business with them in the future, just like there's other companies I want to do business with in the future as well. But nonetheless, Garcon, because of your customer service and your customer interaction, yeah, I'm definitely interested. Definitely want to do some business. I think we can do some good things together. Really looking at the Disruptor 9, and I got to find out what that firearm was that had that liftable barrel, because, I mean, that thing looked pretty cool, I'm not going to lie. They also had, like... They had a gun on the pimp chain. I ain't even gonna lie. That mess. It was one of the funniest things I've seen in a minute. And it seemed like you had some firearm manufacturers coming out with just some pimp stuff, man. I mean, you look up, they got gold guns all over the place, which I'm not gonna lie, some of those guns were actually on point. The drip was real. But nonetheless, Garcon was awesome. They're amazing. And, God, we stopped by so many booths. It's just kind of hard to remember all of them. I do remember mainly that one of the booths I said I'd be back to, I went back down the hallway where the guy said, yeah, you got to make it right down the stairs. But yeah, I went back to that hallway and stopped by the Safari Sun booth, which dude had some really cool hats and some really awesome stuff. I was really looking at a snapback cap with a all metal engraving. So like basically you could put your logo on the front, and it was really talking to me. And I'm like, I'm probably going to end up getting that. I'm not saying I'm going to stop using Hot Brass Clothing Company, because I mean, Hot Brass is that's my company right there. You know, I'll probably reach out and tell them. I'll be like, hey, man, I found somebody else. But I still want us to do things too. You know, can we sit down and talk about, you know, I don't know. I feel like I'm cheating, man. I'm over here talking about cheating on my hat company. You know, Hot Brass is my company. God, I don't know. But who's to say I can't have a plethora of hats? So, you know, I mean, my main thing is if that's my company, I'm staying loyal to them, and they're going to definitely have my business no matter what. So shout out to Hot Brass. Shout out to Blake at the Safari Sun. Yeah, day one was just, I literally handed out all the information cards that I had for Tardigrade Industries, and killed it. Oh yeah, the Airbnb drive. I forgot to tell you about that. So I ended up getting an Airbnb on Sands Avenue. I can't remember what it was. But nonetheless, it was a nice looking Airbnb on the pictures. I would probably stay there again. But it's kind of funny because the cab driver picked us up. He's like, hey, how y'all doing? All right. First time in Vegas? You know, making small chat and whatnot. I'm like, yeah, it's my first time. You know, chopping it up. And We're driving down the strip. He drops us off. And it's kind of funny because, like, as he's about to pull off, he's looking in the rearview mirror at us. And he's like, just let y'all know. You might want to not, you know, you might want to stay inside. Don't come out at night because it's kind of a rough area. We close the doors and he drives off. God. I mean, when he said that, I made it a, because I didn't have my my firearm on me. You know, I usually EDC a mechanic executive, but nonetheless, I didn't, and I should have, but I didn't look up the carrying laws in Vegas. So, you know, I'm just rolling out there with no firearm on me, no nothing. Best I probably had was flashlights and pins. But nonetheless, you know, my situational awareness was definitely amped up, and I was paying attention to every single thing. But nonetheless, you know, it's just kind of a funny interaction because he dropped us off. We walked up to a Mexican restaurant, got some really good food, ate those nachos real quick, walked back, and immediately went to sleep the very first day we got there. You know, it was the unofficial first day, so stayed the whole week. But yeah, day number one was just hitting the ground running, promoting tardigrade industries and looking around, seeing some cool stuff. Day number two was a little bit more interesting. I'll probably get to that one in another podcast, but yeah, man. One of the craziest things was just walking around, and I guess the black perspective on this, but walking around and having people just kind of stare at you for no reason, or just like, not in, you know, by now, I mean, everybody should know that hit dog will holler, you know. So whenever I say people, I'm not talking about everybody. I'm not talking about the majority, but it's like, you know, you get that weird niche group of people who are like, in that I'm going to look down my nose at you type mentality. And what was even weirder was like, when I was in the breakfast line trying to pick a drink or whatever, it was like, I think they were Korean, I don't know. But nonetheless, guys were there. They were like trying to figure out what type of drink they were going to get. And he's looking at this one energy drink brand. And I'm like, yeah, that's an energy drink. They usually make coffee, but that's an energy drink. Oh, cool. All right. Yeah, I'm going to get this. So this asshole pushes by me. I mean, like, he just wasn't having a conversation with me a minute ago. He literally pushes by me. And, goes to check out with the rest of his group. I'm like, what the fuck? It's like, there's no consideration for my space or whatever else. I guess it would have been different if I was wearing a suit or like, I don't know. But nonetheless, I mean, that part just didn't really need to happen. But lo and behold, it did. But you got to chalk it up to the fact that some people are just going to be assholes no matter what. So, hey, it is what it is. But I didn't let it stop me. Day number one, like I said, it was great. I think I ended up getting way too much swag. Yeah, patches are addictive. I got way too many patches. Anyway, stay tuned for day two. I'm going to hit y'all with that a little bit later on. And y'all take it easy. This is Black Butter Podcast. Go ahead.
This the Black Powder Podcast, let's get it splitting. We got the wisdom hitting targets with a marking precision. We're having fun in the booth, we're running gun for the truth. To every future black gun owner, we're spreading the news. We do illegal, we're moving regal and blessing the people. Some hopes for the culture, we keep it locked like guns in a holster. Holding it down as we're loading the rounds. If they were nervous back then, right, then they're gonna be scared of us now. Black Powder Podcast, we'll be back in a while. Yeah.